So I also have no financial relationships to disclose, unfortunately. Seems to be a running theme here. So I'm going to talk to you today about our Bridges to Equity program, which we call for short B2E. Just give you a little introduction about the background of where we're implementing this program and really what the goals are. So we've received five-year funding from HRSA to train medical students to integrate public health approach through interprofessional learning activities, really through the lens and scope of health disparities. So everything that we're doing while enhancing their population-based learning will be taken through that lens of health disparities reduction. The Bridges to Equity program was developed using a novel approach to engaging these students. So part of what we're trying to do is not only to provide a or change our current curriculum, but also to through educational settings, but also to bring them into the community and work interdisciplinary with teams of public health students and folks from other disciplines, really with the way the Affordable Care Act is going, physicians really need to have a better understanding of population-level health services, and learning how to work in teams is going to be critical to their success. And hopefully this will provide a model for providing public health training for medical students. I will say that it has been quite eye-opening for me. Just being introduced to the medical school curriculum, it's very different than traditional or public health training. And what they receive is not what you would think or assume in this day and age. And that part has been quite eye-opening. So just to provide some context, some of you may have heard just a few things about Detroit. But I promised that I would like to be a good ambassador, and so I always try to say fabulous things about my city. But all of that said, we are having some very significant issues, of which I'd like to call challenges. But one of those, the benefits of having all of those challenges is that we're in a community where many players are very invested in seeing the city come back. And it makes it kind of easy to develop relationships and really enhance interprofessional learning and teamwork around a wide variety of different key stakeholders. So some interesting facts is that the city is mostly composed of minorities. Roughly 82% of the residents of the city of Detroit are African American. About 6% are Hispanic, and an interesting note is that about 10% or 9% are white, but many of them identify or self-identify as Arab. We do have the largest Arab American population in the United States, second to the Middle East. So it creates a very diverse city. But like I said, we do have quite a few challenges, especially around chronic disease and infectious diseases compared to both the larger surrounding counties and the state and the region in and of itself, many of which are based on social determinants of health, which include our environmental issues. The structural issues, socioeconomic status definitely plays a severe or definitely impacts the health outcomes of our population. Surprisingly enough, approximately 90% of the city is federally designated as either medically underserved or as a health professional shortage area. So there is a lot of work to be done. So this program is taking place at Wayne State University School of Medicine, which is located within the city of Detroit. We are the largest single-campus medical school in the United States, with a total of enrollment of about 1,200 students. I was kind of surprised to find that we were in the top 10 for graduating underrepresented minority graduates. About 14% of our graduates are African American. And we are affiliated with the University Physicians Group, which provides a significant amount of care, uncompensated care, to the residents of not only Detroit, but of the surrounding areas. So our medical school has a couple of very interesting, unique programs that I come to find that don't necessarily exist at other large urban medical schools. But one of the unique programs, which I'll touch on later on, is our co-curricular program, which is a voluntary program for medical students that they can sign up for within their first and second year of medical school, which encourages them to take additional lectures and courses, and if they attend a certain number of these courses, about 160 hours throughout the course of their medical training, they get time off in their fourth year of medical school. So that's sort of the benefit, the carrot, to get them more involved. Our intention is to get them more involved just because they want to be more involved. So some students participate for that reason, but some do it just to get the time off in their fourth year. The other unique program is that we have a student-run free clinic, which is housed in a community-based service organization in a medically underserved neighborhood. It's fully run by students. There are faculty advisors, but it's become a really great program to help bring students into the community, understand what it's like to run a community clinic. They get really first on-the-ground training for this program. And so we've worked with these two programs specifically to help support some of our training and education programs. So the Bridges to Equity program was really developed through the broad fields curriculum design, which is not necessarily a traditional public health logic model per se. The intention for us was to bring to medical education or remove maybe an understanding of superiority in the medical field, but bring an understanding that their education should involve learning about what the community resources are, specifically learning about health disparities and health equity, and also to learn specifically about public health and population-level health, that information is just as important to their medical information and, you know, memorizing systems of body systems. So we've had 5 years with several major aims. The first one, of course, is to expand the population health curriculum in the MD program. As I said previously, what they're receiving currently is quite minimal, and it also is, I would say, perceived as secondary to their education. The students who get more involved in population health activities tend to want to be involved in or specialize in family medicine. Yet, as we know, there's a family medicine shortage, and we don't have enough folks interested in that, and so it tends to be a small number of students. So the first idea over the course of the 5 years is really to enhance our population health programming and standardize what's being offered in the MD curriculum. The second is to develop an interprofessional teamwork of students, both in our MD program and in our MPH program, to get them to work together on projects in the community. So, for example, all of our MPH students have to do practicum experiences, and so the intention would to be to pair a medical student with an MPH student while they're working on their practicum to give them more of a holistic approach to whatever the public health issue is that they're working on. And finally, one of the other major focuses of our project is to enhance the scope and sequence of our dual degree students. There are very few students who take advantage of the dual degree program, and we wanted to, again, improve the number of students who are trained in public health and get them so interested in it that they were interested in getting their MPH degree. And so what that involved is retooling the way we were offering our MPH program. Currently, most students will come in, they'll apply to both programs, they'll be accepted, and they'll start their MPH prior to starting their medical education. And we've done some things to change the way we're offering the curriculum, which I'll talk about shortly. So, of course, we're talking about working in teams, so we had a team. We had to develop a team and put together a team to implement all of these changes. So the team is currently comprised of folks with expertise in a variety of different areas. We have curriculum design and evaluation. We have experts in medical school education, family medicine physicians. We've partnered with the Henry Ford Health System Institute of Multicultural Health. They have a program that does a lot of work on introducing health disparities education to physicians in the Henry Ford Health System, and so they are one of our key partners. Public health education and practice, because again, we're pairing these students to go out and do public health, so they need to, you know, have some introduction to public health. And we have experts in health disparities research. We've created a five-year timeline. The program started last year, I should say, the last academic year. So this is, we're in year two of our program year. So really our five-year timeline, the first year was spent really designing the program, designing the modules, the evaluation tools, and we've just started our first year of implementation with the intent that by year five we will have change the curriculum of the medical school education, increase the number of students who are getting, who have entered into the dual degree program, really implemented training for medical school students around population training, and engage the students to really want to do more in the community based on population health problems. So as I said, we've had several objectives for year one, which was our planning year. We needed to do things like define the scope. What are we looking to do? Oops. We needed to develop and design student and faculty activities. Part of the program is we said we would do six student-focused seminars around some topic of public health importance, again, through the lens of health disparities, and they would be also paired with a minimum of three faculty education training programs, which would take place at off-site at the Henry Ford Health System. We would design evaluation tools for tracking this, and then the other critical component was not necessarily developing an interdisciplinary team for our core team, but to also bring in stakeholders who are invested in seeing an improvement in education for our physician students and our public health students. So that included recruiting a core team of advisors or an advisory board and recruiting community partners. We had hoped to get at least five advisory board members and at least six community partners. That was the intention. And really the purpose of the advisory board was to advise us on issues of importance in their neighborhoods, in their work environments. We ended up getting 20 members committed to the project, and they come from a variety of fields, from academia, from the nonprofit sector. Many of the organizations are not necessarily health-focused, but maybe more social service-focused. We looked to for-profit agencies and government agencies, and really we were able to get people in leadership positions, vice presidents of organizations. So it was it's been wonderful seeing how many people have been invested in seeing this project come to fruition. Then with our community partners, as I said, we were looking to get at least five community partners, and we were able to currently have 20 partner organizations on board, which include, again, nonprofit, for-profit government, social service organizations, and community-based organizations. And we were also able to have them sign memorandums of understanding with us to allow that or to solidify their commitment to both our program and also for us to solidify our activities and commit to them, to providing them with the service. We conducted a curricular review of both our MD and MPH programs. We developed a curriculum gap assessment tool to really identify the gaps in our existing programs, both in the MD program and the MPH program, to see where we could improve our competencies around mostly health disparities domain issues. We narrowed them down to 41 health disparities domains, and then we used that tool to assess both the curriculum by reviewing course syllabi and also interviewing faculty. And it had to be included in their core objectives if it met the goal of meeting the competency. It couldn't be an optional or an additional reading or an optional project. And then we used that information to develop the general themes for our student seminar topics and our CME topics. We developed an evaluation tool, which actually is sort of a combination of three tools. The first one is the Ripples tool, which is the Readiness for Interprofessional Learning Scale, which evaluates individuals' readiness to learn interprofessionally. Then, of course, we incorporated the area scale, which is addressing racial and ethnic healthcare disparities, issue because we, again, wanted to encourage everyone to have to incorporate the health disparities lens. And then we added specific B2E-specific questions to each evaluation tool with the intention of doing pre-post evaluations following both our seminars and our student activities. And we received IRB approval a couple months ago. Just a little more information about how we interpreted our evaluations is that the Ripple Scale evaluates subjects' attitudes towards interprofessional learning. And again, the Area Scale evaluates interest in engaging and addressing health disparities. And you're either highly engaged, moderately engaged, or disengaged. And for the Ripple Scale, you either have strong positive attitudes to low positive attitudes. And finally, to get more students encouraged, you got to have that carrot. And so that carrot was, for us, we were able to offer scholarships to a limited number of students. So we had to establish criteria for the students who were interested in getting their public health degrees. Of course, it would provide about 90% of the tuition support for an MPH degree. The students would now defer their fourth year of medical school, and they take a leave of absence from medical school, complete their MPH coursework, and then when they begin their fourth year of medical school, they can start their final projects and their practicum experiences. But we didn't want the idea of having a scholarship to be the only impetus for students to want to get more involved in public health. We wanted people who are also committed to public health and reducing health disparities. And so in order for them to qualify for the scholarship, besides being able to pass all of their courses prior to then, they also have to specifically state that they have an expressed interest in population health. And that interest not only has to be written through an essay, but they also have to have attended more than half of our seminars, and they have to have done some sort of public health focused activity through the course of their medical school education. So in September of 2013, a couple months ago, we just started our year two, which was our implementation year, and it's been very interesting thus far. As I said, we were in the process of implementing our student faculty training activities. We're enhancing our course offerings, and we're piloting our MD-MPH student externships and working to really integrate our population learning health activities. And those activities include an exam called the OPSFI. And actually, I'm sorry, I can't remember what the initials stand for, but it's basically a clinical training that students have in a laboratory where actors come in and pretend that they have certain illnesses. And what we are going to do is incorporate some population-level health learning experiences in as a standard learning experience for all medical student training. So that's one of the things that we're working on planning now. As I said, we've developed six seminars for this academic year. We've already had two of those seminars. The last one was about 2 weeks ago. And these themes came out of our assessment of the gaps in our existing programs. So we've done several projects. The first one was an introduction to population health to the medical students on what's specifically going on in Detroit. What are the demographic issues? What are the socioeconomic issues? And what are some of the local health disparities? During primary care week, we had a film followed by a discussion with a primary care physician who works at Henry Ford Health System. And coming up actually in the next week or so, we have a public health ethics, social justice, and health policy program that we're doing with our law school, and the law school students will be coming over to the medical school along with the public health students to provide that interdisciplinary approach. We're going to be doing a panel discussion on vulnerable populations, which include corrections, homeless, mentally ill, et cetera. We're always going to do one session on infectious diseases, but more from a population level perspective. And so this year it's going to be on World TB Day and comorbidities. And then we're going to end the year with a race, place, and class and health discussion. So for the two seminars that we've had so far, this is really a preliminary example or preliminary analysis. There's no heavy biostats here done, but as you can see, the majority of the students who've attended so far have been MD students. We're split right half and half between male and female. Most of our students have been white, which has been kind of surprising to us as far as trying to get the diversity up, because 20% of the students who've attended have been Asian. So that was something that was surprising to us. And the ethnicity, we had a significant number of students who didn't put anything, and so we assumed that meant they weren't any of the above. And again, we've done some preliminary analysis of our ripples and area scale, which show that everyone pretty much has strong positive attitudes about this learning experience and also feels highly engaged to participate in these learning activities. And so to talk about some of the learning activities that we've had so far, we've actually had quite a bit of success in working with our community partners to do quite a few activities. We've had movie screenings, again, with other movie screenings with panel discussions where students participated in the panel discussion and in the evaluation. We actually, one of our community partners is the Detroit Lions. We were able to connect with them and their community outreach organization, and they've invited us to be a key partner with them in doing outreach focused on health in the city of Detroit. And so that's been one of the really beneficial projects that we've had. So we've done education programs with public health, medical students, and other students that are in other disciplines, social service disciplines, participate in some of the programs. We've brought organs to schools, and our medical students have had to work with public health students on learning how to communicate their messages to young kids. And so it's been really what we've seen as far as the engagement from the medical schools, from the medical student level, has been really wonderful. So finally, we just are hoping to create this new program that really integrates interdisciplinary training of public health in a medical school setting to engage medical students and really get more students involved in learning about public health and hopefully engaged in actually practicing public health. So thank you. That's all for me.